Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2022. A lot of twos going on, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, the blueprint for liberty is the supreme law of the land. That is our guide, the Constitution for the United States of America. We're also convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers, one of the great peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips, that is the checks and balances. We're also convinced that we reject revolution and we stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Revolutions don't turn out very well. The United States was a unique moment in history like no other. And because of the hard work the founding fathers put in, the blood, the sweat, the tears, their fortunes, their sacred honors, their very lives, we don't need a revolution, folks. We have the seeds for solution, if you will, is the way I like to say it. We can return to the principles of a constitutional republic. We have the solutions. All we got to do is turn to God Almighty, turn to family, and then use the checks and balances that made America great. We can and indeed will do it again. A quick recap of yesterday's show. We had on two guests, Chris Carlson, and he always says this: without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight, and we had a discussion of all things liberty. Our second guest is Dr. Scott Bradley, a well-known PhD on the Constitution and all things political, if you will. And Dr. Scott Bradley has a goal to preserve the nation. It's his lifelong goal, and he has a collegiate series, books and lectures, all in a package for homeschoolers and more, called To Preserve the Nation. You want to learn about it? FreedomsRisingSun.com is where you go for that. That's FreedomsRisingSun.com. And we had a two-hour great, great show yesterday. All right, we talked about, let's review the Lord's blessings on the head of Joseph. The Jews get an honorable mention. Again, this is not an attack on Jews. There is Jewish power and influence. There's no doubt about it, folks. But let's be very clear. This is not an attack on any of the 12 tribes of Israel. Rather, it's a biblical account, a highlighting of who's who and what's what. And there were promised blessings to all 12 tribes. We talked specifically about another confirmation of the tribe of Joseph's birthright. Blessing through the loins of Ephraim can be found in the book of Jeremiah, if you will. I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Do you know why Reuben's birthright was taken from him and given to Joseph? Interesting question, huh? The name of Joseph and his lineage through Ephraim plays a prominent role in world history, is the point. Even though these 12 tribes have been lost in history, they have not been lost to the Lord at all, ladies and gentlemen. They have not been lost to the knowledge of God. The blessings of each one is already realized from prophecy and or will be fulfilled in the future in God's own due time. We talked about, why do our Christian leaders tell us that we're merely Gentiles, but modern Jews are God's chosen people? You know what, ladies and gentlemen, we've been deceived on this. The truth is, all peoples who turn to Christianity, the Judeo-Christian principles of our nation, are blessed. We do not blame anybody for what foolish Christians are deceived about. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. The fact is, hundreds of millions of people living in the world today are literal genetic descendants of Abraham. Okay? Second hour, we talked about this in relation to the greatest country on the face of the earth with Dr. Scott Bradley. We talked about the Abrahamic covenant, a blessing for all people. Gospel covenants bring gospel blessings. Our founding fathers believed devoutly that there was a God and that the inalienable rights of man were rooted not in the state, that's right, not in the legislature, nor in any other human power, but in God Almighty. God Almighty alone was the author of our liberty. Our founding fathers understood the covenant of the promised land, that if we keep the commandments of God, we're blessed on the land, and if we don't, we're in serious trouble. God's laws, folks, are higher than man's laws. Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. America, ladies and gentlemen, is still indeed a covenant land. All right? And that covenant, by the way, let's be very clear, is for all peoples, the children of God. And what is required is to keep God's commandments. It's not here to double down and focus on the details of theology. That's not the point. The point is those who keep the commandments of God, primarily the Ten Commandments, are in great shape, and those who don't simply lose their liberty. Where are we today is the real question, and what is our personal responsibilities? You know, a lot of the folks are going to take statements out of our two-hour broadcast yesterday and say that we attacked the Jews or say that we did this or that. Let me be very clear. We're attacking no one. We're merely highlighting that God's children include every single one of us. And God's promises to every single one of us are true and real and available to us now. And the message from the Bible is simple. Obey me and get blessed, says God. Disobey me, you'll lose the blessing. Okay, this isn't debatable. This isn't an attack on anyone. This is a fundamental reality that our founding fathers understood. All right, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net, brighteonradio.com. That's where you can find all the broadcasts and the archives of the shows and everything else. Spread the word, download, share them, live and on demand, free at your fingertips. At lovingliberty.net, you've got an iPhone and an Android app you can download as well to make it easier to listen live and on demand as well. So check all that out. And News the Networks Refuse to Use today starts now. We've got a fantastic guest today, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Dale Hutchinson. And he says on his podcast, we are here to inform the public and you about how our history is affecting us today. I love it. His website is coffeetimeagain.com. Guy loves coffee. He got his coffee this morning, so he's ready to go, ladies and gentlemen. Coffee Time Again. It's coffee-time-again.com is his website. And a little biography on Dale that's kind of fascinating. He says, I've got 15 published podcasts, audio only at this point. I am a 71-year-old. I've been a lifelong conservative. I'm a history buff with no time to research anymore except for the topics that I've got for my show. I can discuss, and then he talks about a bunch of cool topics, which we'll dig into in a minute. He's a Convention of States supporter, which, by the way, I am not. We can agree to disagree on that. And then he's a retired substance abuse counselor of 24 years. He says he's also a retired head chef of 28 years. Wow, that's quite a while. Chef, substance abuse counselor. He says he's also a 32-year friend to Bill W. That's the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, by the way. In plain English, he says, I'm a recovered alcoholic. Yes, I said recovered. Interesting statement as well. We'll dig into it all. Dale, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be you.
You're very welcome. So a couple of quick questions. What do you think of the previous broadcast yesterday and the summary of blessings for all through God's commandments? Any comments on that?
Except for the fact I agree with you. It's wonderful. I'm a very devout Christian. I am an Episcopalian and attend church here in Denver, and I agree with what you're saying, especially about Joseph. I'm not that familiar with the Old Testament, as Jeremiah especially, but I do know that you're right about that in our Constitution, our Founding Fathers. One of my podcasts is about that, Founding Fathers, and not just religion, but the Constitution. So I'm a big constitutionalist as well.
All right. I love it. Before we get into a lot of the topics, I know you are a Convention of the States supporter, and I personally think the con's a con. I don't think it's the best way to go. I think it'll just open us up to trouble. But I don't bring guests on, debate them and argue with them and show, you know, who can best who. I bring it up as because I feel differently about it, and a lot of my listeners know that. But I want to give you a chance, though. What do you believe is the value of a constitutional convention? What do you think, or what do you hope to accomplish?
What I hope to accomplish is to add an amendment, about two amendments to the Constitution, one of them being term limits for the members of Congress and federal workers, and another one is a balanced budget amendment. The two things that I most strongly support about a constitutional convention. There's a lot of organizations out there that are supporting constitutional conventions. I just happen to support constitutional convention of states. And it's okay if you don't support them, that's fine.
Yeah, there's no doubt there's a lot of people that are supporting a constitutional convention, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, I understand the desire and agree with the desire to balance the budget. I mean, it needs to be done. I also agree with the idea that, hey, we have got to somehow change the game when it comes to politicians and how long these people can stay in power. When you talk about federal workers, who comes to mind first is Anthony Fauci. That guy's in there as long as I've been alive, and he's nothing but a disaster. So Dale's got a valid point on that reality check. Dale Hutchinson with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's a podcaster, a conservative. His website's Coffee Time Again with dashes. coffee-time-again.com. We'll talk more in seconds with Dale Hutchinson on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dale Hutchinson riding shotgun on the show today. He says, we are here to inform the public and you about how history is affecting us today. His website, coffee-time-again.com. And Dale, we're talking about a constitutional convention. Dale's for one. I'm against one. But ladies and gentlemen, we're trying to demonstrate right now on the radio how we can agree to disagree agreeably. Okay, look, Dale can make his points. I can make a couple of points so you know where we stand and why. Then you can take away from that your own views. Imagine a media like that, huh? You got to dig it. So, Dale, you were saying you want a constitutional convention primarily because you want a balanced budget. And you want these politicians and these government workers that have been there for eons in a 6-year, and you can't get rid of these suckers. I mean, it would take a block and tackle to get them out. And that's a really a problem. And I mentioned right before the break, Anthony Fauci comes to mind, sir.
Yeah, he comes to my mind in a lot of different situations. Like, goodbye would be one word I'd love to say to him, and that's about it.
Amen to that. But you're right on some of the points. I understand the desires that you have. I believe we already have amendments to the Constitution that are already in place that we're not obeying. For example, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and right on through, the first 10 are under threat like never before. That doesn't stop the bureaucrats and professional do-gooders from trying to steal our rights. So I don't think another amendment, for example, to balance the budget is going to help. It was never intended for the states to be receiving federal government money in the first place. And as long as you have that lean on crutch, it's kind of like, you know, dad, shut up and give me the car keys kind of an idea. What we need to do is really just get the federal government to live within its means, to carry its constitutional mandate forward. And they're not really supposed to be giving money to the states at all in the first place. And so really the checks and balances and really the principles that made America great, we need to return to those. A constitutional convention may or may not get a budget amendment passed, but even if we do get it passed, I'm not sure they'll even obey it. They'll just find ways around it. I look at the debt ceiling to make the point. And hey, all they do is raise the debt ceiling. What good's a ceiling if you keep raising it? I mean, on one hand, the sky's not falling. The sky's just going up and up and up and up and up forevermore. So, you know, the truth is that the checks and balances are the only key to rein these people in. And until we the people truly insist on them, by demanding that our states quit taking government money, that we quit getting on the dole, that we quit upsetting this balance of power, unless there's enough people to get involved, I don't think we stand a prayer no matter what law we put in place. So anyway, that just a thought. I'll let you respond because I don't want to have the last word necessarily. But I'm not convinced that a constitutional convention can stay within the rails of how we intend. And I'm not sure that we'll accomplish what we hope to is really the problem. Your final thoughts on that?
My final thoughts is you make a lot of good points, and I agree with most of them. I did a video podcast actually on a gentleman who has a fantastic idea on how to go back to our back checks and balances by returning, getting the K Street money out of politics and the PAC money's out of politics, and he's got a great idea how to do it. If you'll listen to that podcast, you'll get the idea. The particular one I'm talking about is named Doug Hughes, Interview with Douglas Hughes, and that's my final word because I agree with you in a lot of what you're saying.
And I agree with the points that, you know, hey, we got, how are we going to rein these things in? And I say simple return to the principles that made America great. If Americans literally vote and demand vote accountability and vote accuracy and prevent vote fraud on a precinct, the most local level among us, you know, we can bring back the vote. And if people vote, they're already term limited. The only problem that we have is the checks and balances aren't working because Americans aren't engaged. They think somebody else can take the heat, and that'll never work. If you expect to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and never will be. The founder said you have a republic if you can keep it. You cannot jettison our responsibility at the table of liberty and then expect liberty to work well. That never happens. But if you want to check out that interview that Dale did with Doug, coffee-time-again.com to check that out. All right. So I never like to ignore issues with a guest that we may disagree on because I believe it's a demonstration of how, you know what, we the people can talk about these things. We can make points. We can learn from one another. Imagine if we were to do something like that. It's something that we really need to consider in the public forum of ideas. Now, you said that you were a chef. Tell me about that. That's fascinating. 28 years head chef. What kind of food? What's the deal with that?
Well, I started out when I was 14 working in a restaurant peeling potatoes and scrubbing dishes. And over the course of the next 28 years, I worked my way up to head chef over in a couple of restaurants. I managed a couple of restaurants. It was a ministry. My main food is barbecue and American steaks, American-type food, comfort food for one, but just about anything. And I don't do a lot. I do a good Italian spaghetti sauce, but that's about it as far as ethnic food is concerned. And maybe a chili, but I worked in different, all kinds of restaurants over the years. I've worked in steakhouses, I've worked in restaurants, I've worked in places, corporate restaurants, which I detested, working for corporations. And retired when I quit drinking, I've discovered I couldn't stay sober and work in restaurants anymore, so I became a drug and alcohol counselor for the next 24 years.
All right, let's talk a little bit about that. You know, as you moved up the restaurant industry, you get intimately familiar with every aspect of being a head chef of a restaurant. And what were the lessons learned? And the reason that I ask this question is because, you know, your podcast, coffee-time-again.com, it talks about the conservative politics of the day, certainly, but it's also a historical discussion about history and where we're finding ourselves today and the lessons learned. It's not just a political podcast. You have some very unique shows. What were the lessons learned as you were a chef and worked your way up all that time? What were the takeaways for you?
The major takeaway for me in working in management was people management, people skills, dealing with people, you know, and treating them properly, treating them right, and getting things done in their benefit, not just the bottom line of the particular restaurant I was working in, which, if you treat the people right, you're going to affect the bottom line, possibly. And I found that out the hard way over the years. It took me many years to learn how the yelling and screaming didn't work anymore with people. You got to treat them nice, you got to be kind, and you got to talk to them privately. And that's the biggest takeaway I had. And the other one I had is budgeting skills, because you work with a budget when you're working with food in a kitchen. You're working with people budgets, you're working with food budgets, you're working with cleaning budgets, and you've got to reconsider all three of them together and keep the food cost down and the employee cost down and the cleaning cost down, keep all this stuff within reason so you can have a bottom line.
Wow, how do we teach head chef politics to bureaucrats and professional do-gooders all over the country? That's what we need done.
Put them in a restaurant, let them peel potatoes and scrub dishes for a while. That'll teach them.
That ought to learn them, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway, so you started to drink as you were a chef and you became an alcoholic, right?
No, I started drinking long before I became a cook. I was drinking when I was 7.
Oh, boy. That didn't turn out very well, did it?
No, it didn't. And I drank away my career as a chef. I drank away my marriage and my kids. And I've been sober for 32 years now. I'll be 33 in June, but 32 years now. And I've learned a lot over those years about my drinking and alcoholism. You know, being a counselor for a long time also increased my knowledge, but it increased my personal knowledge of myself, of who I am as a human being. And I discovered over the years, both with being sober and working with God and Jesus, I've learned an awful lot, and a few real good therapists have gotten me over this.
All right, let's talk about it. You say you lost your marriage.
Yeah.
It interfered with your kids. It interfered with your job. What do they say? At some point, you hit rock bottom, right?
Oh, yeah, and I don't know. I hit my rock bottom in June of 89, and I woke up in detox. I don't know. I've been unconscious for 30 hours, without going into the longer sort of details, but I've been unconscious for 30 hours. When I woke up, I told the person taking my blood pressure, that's it, I'm done. I haven't had a drink since, or a drug since, and my only way of knowing about it is God hit me with a 2x4 while I was unconscious and said, boy, you're done. Is the only way I can explain that.
So you're saying to me that God is the key for starters. There's a whole lot more to that, which we'll get into as the broadcast unfolds. But ladies and gentlemen, as my former guest yesterday said, without God, hey, there's no liberty or freedom. We're not going to win.
He's right.
With God, we're never going to lose. You're always going to win, ladies and gentlemen. And believe it or not, you mentioned Bill W., the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's one of the key tenets, is that you've got to turn to a higher power. We're not going to get into the keys to theology, ladies and gentlemen, but got to turn to a higher power if you want success. And that power ain't government. Dale Hutchinson with us, ladies and gentlemen. coffee-time-again.com is his website with podcasts and a whole lot more. Check that out. When we come back, we'll talk more about how he recovered. A very interesting term, because they say alcoholics never recover, right? We'll talk about it. We'll also talk about that, an addict, and a whole lot more on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Winter weather is still affecting the east as for the second weekend in a row, a huge winter storm has rolled its way through the Carolinas. John Millwood is a Clinton, South Carolina resident who says he's never seen the region get that kind of winter weather before.
Very unusual. Very unusual. Like I said, I'm 54 and I've never seen weather like this in quite a long time.
Federal authorities officially declaring last week's hostage standoff at a Texas synagogue an act of terrorism. The assistant to the president for Homeland Security, Jill Sanborn, says the FBI is treating that standoff as an act of terrorism that targeted the Jewish community. Sanborn made the comment yesterday on a conference call with reporters. Malik Akram last week took four people hostage at Congregation Beth Israel near Fort Worth before he was fatally shot by law enforcement. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature is fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
It's really fantastic. You know, I'm pretty active sports-wise, and no muscle strains. I get up in the morning, like no stiff back, nothing. I never get sick. I mean, literally, never get sick. And if I feel like there's a little something coming on, I'll take like a mega dose. Next day, it's gone. I mean, just my overall health is fantastic. And I plan on continue taking this because I'm convinced it absolutely contributes to your well-being, to your health. It's keeping you healthy. Let your body do what it's supposed to do.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
The U.S. Supreme Court says it will revisit a 2020 decision concerning a native land dispute in Oklahoma. Reports are justices will consider limiting the court's decision in McGirt v. Oklahoma, which ruled that a large part of that state's eastern region was an Indian reservation. While they said that they won't overturn the ruling, the justices said they will look at the state's ability to prosecute crimes that happen on native land, and the case will be argued in April. A story labeled Truck Full of Monkeys. Pennsylvania authorities are searching for loose primates after a dump truck collided with a truck full of monkeys. No human injuries reported after the truck that was carrying about 100 monkeys crashed on Route 54 in Montour County on Friday night. Troopers say at least three of the animals got loose after the crash, and they're still at large. Reports are that truck was on its way to an area laboratory before the collision. This is USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Dale Hutchinson, my guest, coffee-time-again.com. His website, he's a chef. He was a abuse counselor for a long time. And we're digging into this a little bit. He was an alcoholic and couldn't quit. Woke up in detox. God hit him over the head and said, that's it. He's been 30-plus years sober. But he uses some very interesting terms for those of you who are familiar with alcohol and chemical abuse and everything else. He says, how is an addict different from an alcoholic? And what is meant by recovered? He says he's recovered. Alcoholics never use that term. Why would a counselor with so much experience use those terms? Maybe Dale knows something the rest of they all don't know. Is that a term? The rest of them don't know? The rest of they all? The industry certainly has terms and viewpoints that are pretty stuck in the mud oftentimes. Dale, you're saying that it's a little different than the normal teaching, right?
Being a recovered alcoholic or addict, because I don't think there's any difference between alcoholics and addicts except the drug they're using. The consequences of physical health and mental health and your lifestyle and your life itself, it's all the same. It's just the difference between the drugs you're using. It doesn't make any difference because alcohol is just another drug. As for being recovered, it's more of an attitude. And it says in the big book, in Bill's story, we are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of body and mind. So that's what I base that on, is that statement of Bill W., co-founder of AA. in his own story, when he's writing the very front page, very first page, about the eighth paragraph, I believe, and it talks about being a recovered addict. And it's an attitude, in my opinion. It doesn't matter how many years you can be a recovered addict and only have 5 years, if you've got the right attitude. And my attitude is, get through. Do I need it? No. Do I want it? No. Who cares? Let's not even worry about it. Let's move on to the next topic. Now, I'm not saying that's what we need to do here, but I'm just saying that's the way I feel.
So God talks about recovered. God talks about repentance. God talks about change. God is the key element in the 12-step plan in Alcoholics Anonymous. The reason that they use addict versus alcoholic is because they're trying to, at least in the past, they've tried to make you believe that because alcohol is legal, it's in a different state than the addicts who are illegally doing substances. They separated that from the quote legal prescriptions. They were considered neither back in the day. We're learning very quickly that all of that minutia is not honest. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, an alcoholic, an addict, whether it be video games, sex, drugs, alcohol, it's all the same. The bottom line is, it's an addiction that you lose your control over your life because of that addiction. And the real important takeaway that I think Dale's trying to get at here is, you got to turn it over to God. And until you do, you probably are not going to be able to conquer. Is that accurate, Dale?
That's very accurate. The second step in the AA program is, without getting into all the details, is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Well, the secret to that second step is that entire sentence in the past tense. So when all you right. do the first step, you've got the second step, and that means you've been restored to your sanity. That means you can and could recover if you choose to.
Now, let me ask you, what was the difference then? You tried to quit, tried to deal with this, wrestled with that for a long time. I know you woke up in the rehab and, detox, and you felt like God had hit you over the head. But do you know what the fundamental change was? Is it something God did for you? How much is God versus how much is commitment and understanding of choices? Give me the breakdown on that in your view.
It's a choice to drink. It's a choice to use, even if you're an addict. If you don't take that first drink, you're not going to get drunk. It's just that simple. You choose to take the first use. If you don't make that choice, you're not going to get high. You're not going to get drunk. But you've got to work with God very closely. It's all throughout the 12-step programs that God is the single most important key to stay sober. He can help you make the right choices. He can do like he did for me. He said, Dale, it's time for you to quit using. You've got other things to do I want you to do. I'm still trying to figure out what he wants me to do now, but he guided me and led me through until I actually found a church I could attend in 2014, but if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here today. It's God. He brings me. He doesn't tempt me. God does not test us. God does not test us. We test ourselves.
You feel like after you got out of the detox that it was a battle on those choices at first? Was it hard? Did it take self-discipline? Or do you believe God just took it away from you?
No. I had to work at it. I was in treatment for almost a year and a half here in Denver. I went to a treatment center for 14 days. I went to a halfway house for 70 days. And then another year in another halfway house. And another year working for that halfway house to get to where I am today. It was hard. It was very difficult. I didn't do it alone, though.
Think about that. You cannot do it alone, but there is a coming together of the individual and their specific choices with God and dependence on God helping them make their choices. Sounds like to me you do your very best and you trust God for the rest.
Amen. That's what I've been doing. I still do it today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's really important to understand, right? It's really important to understand from a substance abuse counselor for 24 years, literally telling you that, hey, you're not going to make it out alone if you're wrestling with something that's gotten above you to that degree. However, to pretend there's a difference between an addict or an alcoholic, that's all games, words. The truth is, whatever your addiction is, if it's above you, you're going to have to turn to a higher source of authority and power to beat it. And you're going to have to realize there's a lot you have to do. But after all you can do, the grace comes from God. And you cannot do it all by yourself. And you can't just let God do it. You've got to do your part and trust in God that he'll do his. Dale, final message on this topic.
You can become a recovered addict if you're willing. It's just that simple. And it's not a matter of how many years you have, it's a matter of your attitude towards it and recovery itself.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
You can get addicted to 12-step meetings.
All right, so I bring this up, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, Dale's a Convention of States supporter. I am not. But think about this for a minute. You know what? How is an addict different from an alcoholic? We both agree on this, and we both agree where the solutions lie. Okay? What is meant by recovered? What Dale's saying about recovered, ladies and gentlemen, is God talks about recovered. The Alcoholics Anonymous and some of these other people want to talk about you're always sick, but you can be on the bandwagon. You can be sick for life, but yet you can never engage in the sickness, so to speak. There's a difference in attitude and view is what Dale's focusing on here. If God says you're recovered, that's different. It's a different viewpoint, isn't it, Dale?
Yes, it is. And it's absolutely correct what you said. It is about the attitude. And the fact that addicts and alcoholics, there's no difference. It doesn't matter what you're addicted to. And you can get addicted to 12-step. Like you were saying there, you can stay stuck in the sickness and get addicted and go to AA meetings for the next 50 years and still be sick. I'm not sick anymore. I'm recovered.
And that's a critical distinction, ladies and gentlemen. I know sometimes people might listen to this and go, Sam, you're just playing games with semantics here or words. No, I'm not. I'm talking about where the solutions lie, what you need to do to be part of the solution, and where you need to involve God, a higher power in your life for solutions, and then understanding what can happen through God. And to say that you're sick forever denies God's power. Even though it's not intended to do that, that's the end result. You're denying that God can heal. And I submit that that isn't true. God can heal. He does and he will. What you got to do is do all that you can do and then trust him. That's very hard for people to do, Dale, but that is the capping key to the solution, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Absolutely correct. You're right. 100% right. Without God, you got a very good chance of staying sick.
All right, let's apply this to the state of mental health in America, because, you know, with COVID, they act like everybody's all healthy and safe because they're, you know, wearing masks or running around not getting vaccinated or staying home or social distancing or whatever they're doing. But you know what? This last 2 years has really shown us that not only has it furthered a mental crisis in America, but mental health in America, really, the state of mental health in America partly has been exposed and partly has been created by the last couple of years. We'll dig into it with Dale in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dale Hutchinson, my guest. And understand Dale is a convention of the states supporter. Sam is not. And my headline says, watch us disagree agreeably. Imagine that in America. And I don't mean to keep hammering on our disagreements. The reason that I focus on it so much is in America, we literally have this viewpoint that if we disagree on anything, that, man, we just can't be friends. We got to just throw the baby out with the bathwater. We're done. You got to stop that, ladies and gentlemen. You got to jettison that notion. Just because we have our own opinions on something, that doesn't mean we can't be fast friends. That doesn't mean we can't work together on 99% of everything else we agree on. We can, and we should. Don't let the media make you believe for one second that you can't, because they're lying to you. They're taking away our authority and our power of our greater numbers by lying to us. Okay, so I don't mean to focus on that too much, but I want to highlight this critical, important understanding because I believe it directly relates to the mental health of Americans, which is what we're talking about with Dale Hutchinson. His website, coffee-time-again.com. And he talks about a lot of these topics on his podcast, folks. It's not only political. He talks about history and the relevance and unique, incredible shows that really focus on some misunderstood things in history, as he's done with the addict versus alcoholic discussion, like he's done by what is meant by recovered. Anyway, he takes on historical tidbits that you may not even know about, where you go, wow, that's cool. Really? It's that kind of stuff on coffee-time-again. I want to broaden the discussion now from your personal experiences and your wrestles as you've learned to turn things over to God, Dale, to the nation now. Mental health is serious, and COVID has really exposed a lot of the underbelly of this mental health crisis in America, but it's also added to it, sadly, for many. Many people have turned to alcohol and drugs and addiction and discouragement and suicide, and there's a way out of that too, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And one of the things is God, of course. You've got to excuse me for that. One of the things,
really quick, while Dale goes ahead and gets that squared away, Dale's an older gentleman. He's got some health problems because of his early life and things like that. But he's soldiering on, and he's using his personal, I don't want to say suffering necessarily, but his challenges in life and mortality or whatever, to really kind of highlight in an effort to help Americans not have to go through some of the difficult things that he's gone through, in an effort to give Americans who are struggling with maybe a lot of the same issues hope. Isn't that the key? It's about the hope, isn't it, Dale?
Yes, it is. But may I say one thing about our Convention of States discussion?
Sure, of course.
That's part of the government's plan, is to keep us separate, to create divisions among us that keeps them in power. In my opinion.
There's no doubt about that. They want us to not work together on any topic at all. The greater the divisions on every fault line they can find, the more power they gain and the more we lose.
Absolutely correct. And we can disagree, and it doesn't mean we're wrong. It doesn't mean you're wrong that you disagree with me. It doesn't mean I'm wrong that I disagree with you. And that's part of the mental health issue. There's so many of the stigmatization, well, you're sick, you're defective. And that's, again, part of the government's plan, is to keep us down by saying, well, you're sick, you're never, you can get better. You can work. Part of the solution is God and getting help. And down to that stigmatization to it. Admit it. Admit to yourself and to God. I got a problem, God. Help me find the solution. And God will not only help you himself and do things for you, but he will show you where to find the human help that you need as well. A good, honest, a therapist. And you can find them. They're out there. And don't, and my always, I always tell people, if you find a therapist and you don't like them, fire them. That's okay too. Go to the next one till you get one you can work with.
And you can also learn, you can also learn by the way the therapists respond to you, if it becomes a, I'll just say bitty session, in other words, just a gripe session together, yeah. Or if they're really providing guidelines and frameworks to process and work through things in meaningful ways. There's a big difference, and after a visit or two or three or four, you can tell which is which very easily. Amen. Don't get stuck into thinking just because they're the therapist that they're a godlike figure and you must not know. Don't believe that. Your heart and your gut will absolutely let you know. Dale?
Absolutely correct on that. And as you said, three or four sessions, you don't know exactly what's going on. And I'm saying don't be afraid. They're not, you know, do you know what MD stands for?
No, sir.
Medical deity.
Amen to that. We think they're medical deities, don't we? We think they're a godlike figure that they know everything. And they don't, that's folks, right. And they're wrong. You see the rift in the coronavirus discussions, just to make the point. They're all over the map, yeah. Just like attorneys. They render opinions and nothing more. Just because they have a lot of scientific background or a lot of biology background or whatever else, I mean, that's great. But your gut and your heart, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, will not lead you astray if you continue to turn to God as your guide in your quest. You will not be deceived long term. You might be confused on something here or there as you unwind and detox from the world and from the mental challenges and all that. But you can get guidance and you'll know the truth. And it'll set you free, Dale.
That is absolutely correct. It will set you free. But first, you'll make you very miserable. Recovery is not easy. It is painful. I'm not going to lie to you. There's pain involved in recovery for mental health issues. But you can work through them the same way you work through the pain of the whatever's triggering the mental issues in the first place. Just find yourself the best therapist you can. And there's financial help out there, too. If you're a veteran, they have veterans, VA, despite all its bad policies, got some darn good therapists working for them. So if you're a veteran,
yeah, believe it or not, I've got a personal dear friend of mine. He's got cerebral palsy. And he's a mental health counselor for the VA. And I'm telling you right now, the guy is stellar, and he cares, literally. And that's one of the things that you could tell. Is this relationship a relationship where they care? You could feel the difference if they care and if they don't care. I'm telling you, if you have one that doesn't really care, they're just going through the motions, you got to find another one. You got to find one that truly invests his heart and soul into your success, because that's where you learn that you have friends and they care about you. And then as they turn you to God, hey, man, with God and friends, there's nothing you can't beat. And that's really the understanding from therapy that people need to gain. Who can help you process through these things? Oftentimes, people just get stuck on the process. They get stuck on how to come out of this, how to gain an understanding that gets them above it. And what a real good counselor will do is help you see things in a different way to help you get above it in your mind and in your heart. And when you do, now you're cooking. Pardon the chef phrase, sir.
That's all right, I understand. That's what I use myself. Now you're cooking with gas. However, you're right about that. And the one thing that I was going to say, and I just lost it. Oh, man, my mind just went south on me. But you're right. You've got to have God and friends and people and family, if you got any family. If they don't understand, you got some. It's going to take longer, but it's going to get done. And it does take time. It does take time. Therapy is not a fast-acting fix all solution. It takes time, and you got to be willing to invest the time in yourself. That's what's important, is you. You're the important one. You got to remember that. You're the one that counts, and all to you.
Now, I also want to talk about this serious state of mental health, the state of mental health in America. Folks, you have got to not only get the support, the friendships, the love, but the more time you spend in service to others and service to your God, in other words, the more you look outside yourself, believe it or not, the more you internally will heal. Service Absolutely. And kindness and love seems contradictory to look outside yourself for healing within yourself, but I'm telling you from experience, it is the answer. You got to do that. You've also got to take time for your body, though. You got to have some exercise. You got to have some good nutrition. You got to have plenty of sleep. Most of us in America, because of modern electricity and entertainment and everything else, are sleep deprived like you wouldn't believe. But you've got to go back to the basics in terms of taking care of yourself. And then you've got to look outside yourself and serve others. Like the old Bob Dylan song said, you got to serve somebody. Might be the devil, might be the Lord, but I'm telling you, you're going to have to serve somebody. That's really another key to the success that people find, Dale.
Yes, and I agree with you. I'd temporarily forgotten that point that I, myself, am very service-oriented, particularly within my church. And it just does such wonders for me. The feel good when you do something and nobody knows anything about it, and you do something for somebody and nobody knows anything about it, you can't believe how good that feels.
It feels good, ladies and gentlemen, because it is good. And that's what I mean by your heart and soul can tell the difference of when you're on the track towards healing versus when you're stuck on stupid or frustrated, whether it be a counselor helping you, whether it be a best friend listening to you, whether it be God, you know, that you're talking to in prayer, the comforting feelings of well-being and safety and stability and comfort will come your way if you're on the right track. And if you're still frustrated, you got to make a change until you start feeling that good. You'll find it in reading the Bible. You'll find it in reading good books. You'll find it in spending time with those who truly have your best interest at heart. When you spend time with people, do you feel stronger, built up, loved, protected, appreciated? Or do you feel tore down? You got to pay attention to that. And every time you're feeling tore down, every time you're feeling frustrated and stuck, you've got to make some changes, because there are loved ones out there. There are friends. God has not abandoned his station, lady. He's not the leaving kind, is what I'm telling you. And so we need to understand that. And we need to pay attention to our heart, our gut, our mind. You know, your head might say no, but you got to pay attention. Inside, you will find some solace. You will find some peace if you're turning to the right places, the right people, the right solutions. If you're really getting centered, is the term that I would use. You will know it. And if you're not, you'll know it too. Just don't deny it, thinking somebody else around you knows more than you. Because God will guide you through your gut on where you ought to be. And he is, I'm going to say this as the final point of this hour, he is, that is, Jesus Christ, is the ultimate physician, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be very clear. And he has the mojo others just don't have. Now, others can be supports along the way. I get it. And God puts plenty of them in our path to serve and to be served. No doubt about it. But I'm telling you that he is the ultimate healing physician. It's called the atonement of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, Dale Hutchinson is with me. He's going to be with me for both hours, by the way, because we're here to inform the public and you about history and how it's affecting us today. Coffee-time-again is his website. He's a Convention of the States supporter. I am not. So what? What is meant by recovered? We all need to be recovered, ladies and gentlemen. Recovered from this world. Recovered from mortality. We all need the saving, don't we, ladies and gentlemen? All right, we talked about the state of health in America. It's dismal, ladies and gentlemen, because we're not turning to God, family, and country. That's why. But therein lies the solutions. That's why we promote God, family, and country and the protection of life, liberty, and property on this broadcast. Next hour, we're going to dig in with Dale. We're going to talk about what is a constitutional conservative. We're going to talk about human trafficking, education in America, socialism, progressive movement, a whole lot more. We'll do it in seconds. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.